Is anybody here today that was not here yesterday? Whoa. Well, I'm going to spend 5 minutes discussing what we spent 2 hours discussing. A little review. Yesterday, we spent time discussing the life of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And your computer doesn't have the right font. So you can fix that after. Okay. So who is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? He is one of the acharyas in our line of disciplic succession. Many of you in your home have an altar. And on your altar you have little pictures of our disciplic succession. And the acharya just before the last one that you have on your altar is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The last acharya, so we have Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Jagannath Das Babaji. Before him was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That was a short version. Thank you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lived for about 92 years.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur,
he was a very, very superlatively accomplished Vaishnava. He was born in the same district of West Bengal as Lord Chaitanya made his appearance, district of Nadia. His early life was spent there as a child studying grammar and Sanskrit. And then he went to study under two teachers, one of whom became his guru. While still in student life, he wrote 3 books. And they were very elevated commentaries on very elevated texts of Rupa Goswami. And he learned about poetry and the science of writing that kind of literature. And he wrote later on in his life many songs. Here's a list of some of the books that he wrote. The upper part were commentaries to explain very elevated literatures, and the bottom part is books of his own writing. One of those books is listed right here. That's what we're going to be discussing. Here's where he is listed in our disciplic succession. And he studied in Vrindavan under Krishnadas Kaviraj. Whoops, that's this one. Krishnadas.
Yeah.
Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We discussed a little bit about his deity of Gokulananda. And a very mystical way how the deity of Gokulananda told his pujari that he wanted Vishwanath to worship him. This is the altar in Vrindavan where Gokulananda is worshipped. He's right here. And over here is the Shalagram, the Govardhan Shila that was worshipped by Raghunath Das Goswami and eventually was given to Vishwanath to worship. And these are deities of other Vaishnavas who associated with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The deity of Lokanath Goswami, the deity of Narottam Das Thakur, and they're all being worshipped in the same altar at Gokulananda Temple. So just very quickly, he's known for giving the very elevated teachings of Rupa Goswami to the people in general in very simple language through his commentary. His commentaries also on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam are very much valued in our Vaishnava Sangha. This is a drawing of Rupa Goswami. And we are followers of Rupa Goswami. As was Vishwanath, a follower of Rupa Goswami. So Vishwanath made access to Rupa Goswami even easier. And like Rupa Goswami, he was a Rasika Bhakta. He was known for his appreciation of Krishna in various intimate ways. Here's a drawing made by one of the disciples of Shivaram Maharaj of Vishwanath showing a pen in his hand. Shivaram Swami. Because one of his main contributions was writing. But other contributions included his restoring the respectability of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. He restored the standard of deity worship when deities were literally just standing on the altar and being neglected. He engaged in the restoring of a number of temples that had been destroyed in previous periods. period of time by the Muslims.
然后呢，他还重新的发掘了以前的那些被穆斯林们毁坏的那些庙宇，重新建立了这些庙宇。
He very strictly reestablished the standards of proper understanding of the relationship of the gopis or relationship of Radharani with Krishna, very intimate esoteric teachings.
而且呢，他完全的就是非常从严格的重新建立了那些牧牛姑娘们还有 Radharani 跟 Krishna 之间的这种亲密的关系的教导。
One of his spiritual masters, godbrothers became deviated because of offense, and he challenged and corrected the misunderstandings he was propagating.
当他的一位灵性导师的灵性兄弟偏离了这个教导正确的教导的时候，他非常强有力的抨击了，并且是纠正了他的这种。
He was responsible for establishing through Baladev a commentary on Vedanta Sutra representing Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
而且他负责了 Baladeva Vidya Bhushan 去评注。
In short, during his time, he was a great pillar of spiritual power and spiritual strength.
而且他非常的就是他通过Baladeva Vidya Bhushan 去给那个 Vedanta Sutra 做出了评注，并且他是在那个我们的他是在 Vaishnava 这个传习当中非常是一个鼎力的一个支柱。
So that's our 5-minute summary of a 2-hour discussion yesterday.
所以呢，这就是我花了五分钟时间讲来总结了昨天两个小时的内容。
And so now we're ready for beginning Madhurya Kadambini.
现在我们开始进入 Madhurya Kadambini 这本书的讲。
Maybe presenting this topic will inspire some of our translators to translate this. I understand there's an idea to have it translated. Here's the book. One day you'll have a copy in Chinese.
那么这本书呢，到目前为止还没有被翻译出来，所以呢，在讲这个之前呢，希望鼓励能够把这本书至少能够翻译成中文。
This book is giving a summary of Rupa Goswami's teachings in a very, very simple, skinny little form.
那么这本书呢，非常简洁的概述了 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
But the messages are very compact.
但是它其中的这些内容呢是非常精炼的。
So,
浓缩的。
If time permits, I'll expand on those very compact messages little by little.
所以呢，我们要花一点时间，逐步逐步的去了解这些被精炼的、被浓缩的这个话题。
There are 9 stages of devotional service, beginning from Shraddha up to Prema.
那么奉献服务的其中有九个阶段，从信心 Shraddha 开始，一直到最高的阶段 Krishna Prema.
And each of the chapters is taking one of those stages and explaining them.
而且其中每一个章节呢，对其中的每一个阶段进行了描述。
The basic structure is Rupa Goswami's teachings.
那么其中的基本的构造就是基于 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
And because Vishwanath is a vastly learned Vaishnava scholar, and a deeply realized personality, he adds to some points in a very amazing way. So this is an attempt to try to serve Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
所以呢，我们通过这个来去尽自己的努力去服务 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
In his attempt to serve Rupa Goswami.
那么就像是他在就像他努力的去服务 Rupa Goswami.
Which was his attempt to fulfill the order of Lord Chaitanya.
就像 Rupa Goswami 的六位 Goswami， 他非常努力，他们非常努力的去完成。
Who gave the teachings of pure devotional service and the step-by-step way of achieving it. So the first chapter is addressing the question, how does bhakti begin?
So the first chapter is addressing the question, how does bhakti begin?
In the course of my travels as a sannyasi, this question is asked a lot. In different ways it's being asked, but it's a common question. So I'm going to summarize this first chapter in three parts. The first part is Vishwanath establishes that Krishna is fully independent. The second part is Bhakti, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, is equally independent. So the third part is Bhakti establishes Bhakti, not something else. So here's how the chapter begins. So the stages of bhakti are nine, and the first one is Shraddha, and the ninth one is Prema. And he, instead of calling it chapter one, instead of calling it chapter one, he calls it a shower of nectar. In fact, the title of the book means a cloud bank of nectar. And the cloud bank of nectar is sending down the first shower of nectar. He makes reference, first of all, to Krishna's being supremely independent. And he begins by making reference to a verse from Taittiriya Upanishad. Which is found in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text number
5.
And Surabhi is going to read in Chinese the part of the purport that teaches what's written on the top line up here. So you can, I'll talk something, but it starts here. So this paragraph, Taittiriya Upanishad 2.9, and just read down to here, Anandamaya, there, that far, that much. Okay. So, what's chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita? The title of the chapter is Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And in the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna asks three questions. What's the difference between the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities? Field of activities and the knower of the field of activities. What is knowledge and the object of knowledge? What is prakriti, or material nature, and what is purusha, or the enjoyer of material nature?
什么是 prakriti， 什么是物质自然，什么是 purusha， 物质自然的享受者。
The question is, what's matter and what is spirit?
那么他的问题就是什么是物质，什么是灵性。
Because there are these two different things, matter and spirit.So this reference from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita purport is explaining that.
所以呢，那么在这里面引述的这个师节呢，在博迦梵歌的第十三章第五师节里面有描述。
She's now going to read the reference. Listen carefully. It presents these terms: anamoya, pranamoya, etc.
所以呢，大家仔细的听，现在要阅读的这个要旨里面提到 anapuya, pranamaya, anandamaya。至尊主的能量有一展示，称为 anamaya， 依赖食物生存，即进食本能，这是对至尊的物质觉悟。跟着是 pranamaya， 气息本能。这也就是说，一个人在食物中觉悟了绝对至尊绝对真理之后，就能通过生命的真空、生命的形态觉悟绝对真理。在知觉本能 Gyanamaya 中，觉悟就是从生命的真空发展为思想、感觉、意志，跟着就是幻觉，也就是称为自觉本能 Vijnanamaya 觉悟。通过这种觉悟，生物的心意和生命真喉跟生物自身就判若云泥。下一阶段是至高无上的阶段，称为极乐本能 Anandamaya， 觉悟极乐的本性。于是梵觉有五个阶段，称为 Brahma Pucham。 这五个阶段中，最初三个即是本能 Anamaya， 气息本能 Pranamaya，知性本能 Gyanamaya， 牵涉生物的活动场地。超然于这一切活动场地之上的是至尊主，至尊主又称为极乐本能 Anamaya， Anandamaya。
OK， What was all that about?
那么这些谈论的是什么呀？
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is making aUpanishad reference to say the same thing that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita.
那么 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 引述了 Upanishad 里面的一个师节，去讲述了 Krishna 在博迦梵歌里面讲述的同一个话题。
One can realize the presence of God partially through matter.
那么一个人可以通过物质来部分的去觉悟神。
Because matter exists based upon his existence.
因为物质的存在是基于 Krishna 的存在。
Energy rests upon the energetic.
那么能量是基于能量拥有者而存在的。
There are higher stages, though, of realization of Brahman or the Supreme.
那么还有比这更高的一个阶段，被至尊主的觉悟的阶段。
And ultimately, the Supreme realization.Of God or Krishna is in the blissful feature of his person, supreme, sublime person.
那么对主的至高无上的最高的一个觉悟的阶段，就是认识到 Krishna 是至高无上的充满喜乐的他的这种本性。
He doesn't waste any time.
他不会浪费任何时间。
He takes his reader right away to the topmost position.
他把阅读者读者能够提升到最高的这种境界。
That's where he wants to take the reader.
那就是他想要读者到达的一种境界。
And then he makes another reference from Taittiriya Upanishad.
而且他引述了 Upanishad 的另外的一个师节。
That's this one here.
这就是他引述的。
It's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita purport.
这个师节也在博迦梵歌的要旨里面提到了。
So this feature of Krishna as Anandamaya,
Krishna 的 Anandamaya 的这种本性特征
says that when one realizes him, one experiences he is the reservoir of all pleasure, Raso Vai Saha.
那么只有当一个人了解到 Krishna 是快乐的源泉的时候 Raso
Krishna is rasa.
Krishna is rasa.
He's the supreme person, and he's like a glubjaman. Glubjaman. A sweet that's made of juice. He is really juicy. He's made of the happiness, the rasa of transcendental bliss. That is Krishna. And where does that rasa of Krishna come from? It doesn't come from any place than himself. And how do different persons realize that rasa personality, Krishna? He makes reference to a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where Krishna is entering into the wrestling arena of Kamsa. And different persons reside who see Krishna entering into the wrestling arena, they all see him in a different way. The wrestlers, they saw Krishna like a thunderbolt. He was going to destroy them. The women saw him as Cupid personified. There were some cowherd men from Vrindavan, and they saw him as their relative. The parents of Krishna saw him as their child. The unintelligent saw Krishna as the universal form. The yogis, they saw Krishna as Paramatma walking across the wrestling arena. And there's others named. So in this way, different persons saw the one person according to their particular mood, their regard for him. So what's Vishwanath's message for us? Krishna is a big reservoir of rasa. He is like a big juicy glubjaman. Does anybody here not know what a glubjaman is? You all know, right? So you just touch a glubjaman and all this juice comes out. And when you bite the glubjaman, all this juice spills all over the place. And Krishna's a big glubjaman. He's full of juice. And he's the highest truth. That's what Vishwanath wants us to understand. And his rasa, or his juiciness, comes from himself. It's his very nature.
So,
Now, he's the swarup, or he's the form of rasa. So that's the first point of 3 points that he's establishing. And now, what about the means of connecting with Krishna, which is bhakti? Bhakti is fully independent, just as Krishna is fully independent. What manifests bhakti? He makes scriptural reference to say, bhakti is self-manifesting. There is nothing material that can make bhakti manifest. Bhakti is self-manifesting. It's a very important point. And he makes different scriptural references to make his point. Here's the first one. Here's this word in Sanskrit, hetu. Of course, you have it here, hetu. Devotional service has no material cause or hetu. Then he makes additional references from Krishna's teaching to Uddhava. And he describes bhakti with this term, yadrichchaya. And how is that word yadrichchaya translated? Somehow or other. Means you can't explain. It's inexplicable. And he makes another reference in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mad bhaktim bhad yadrichchaya. Somehow he attains my devotional service. So Vishwanath is focusing on this word, yadrichchaya, somehow.
So
somebody might ask, how? To say, well, somehow, I'm not satisfied. How? What's the cause? We're used to cause and effect. Anything you can think of has its cause because it's the effect of some cause. The light's coming in the room from the sun. So we know the cause. The sun is up, it's daytime. And then at nighttime, there's no sunlight coming in the room. Because the sun has set. So then someone can ask, well, why does the sun rise and sunset? And you can give the cause. And then what's the cause of that, and what's the cause of that? And for Krishna, there's no cause. And for bhakti, there's no cause. That's his point. So, let's go on. can this word yadrichchaya have a different meaning? Maybe it has to do with bhakti being caused by good fortune. One person becomes a devotee because of good fortune. Okay, well, what's the cause of that good fortune? So then someone may say, well, it's their shubha karma, their past pious activity, that's their good fortune. That created the good fortune. Shubha means auspicious. Karma means material activity. Shubha karma is pious activity. Just like Maharaj was describing this morning about four different kinds of impious people. So become a pious person, and then that's the cause of becoming a devotee. Some people may argue like that. Vishwanath says no. Because if that was true, then something material can create something spiritual. Just do lots of piety and you'll become a devotee. So he rejects that suggestion. Material can't create something spiritual. Then some person may say, well, it's just the mercy of Krishna. And then someone might say, well, what's the cause of Krishna's being merciful? And then they may say, well, there's no cause, it's just unqualified mercy. Then he said, that's not so, because then you'd find everybody is a devotee. Just like the sun is shining. The sun isn't shining upon some people and not on other people. Sun is shining on everyone. So Krishna gives his unqualified mercy and then you become a devotee. But then everyone would be a devotee. So he rejects that suggestion. Well then, qualified mercy. He gives mercy to some and not to others. And he rejects that suggestion. Because Krishna is not partial. He's not, I like somebody and I don't like somebody else, and so I'll give them devotion and I'll let them rot and suffer. So, how does one become a devotee then? Here's the answer that he accepts. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. What does that mean? He's very kind upon his devotee. It's one of his ornaments. The Sanskrit word is bhushana. Like some persons may have a necklace or a ring or some brooch or some jewelry, and that's an ornament, bhushana. The one of Krishna's bhushanas or ornaments is he's very kind upon his devotee.
那么 Krishna 的一种装饰物就是他对奉献者非常的仁慈。
It's not a fault.
这不是错，这不是一个缺点。
It's one of his ornaments.
这是他的一个装饰物。
So, now we have this special position of a Madhyama devotee.
那么在这里面有一个非常特殊的地位，Madhyam奉献者，终极奉，就是处在终结阶段的奉献者。
Do we have any new people here?
在这里有没有新加入进来的一些新人？
New people. Okay. Good. You were here yesterday. You're becoming less than new. You're becoming regular.
你昨天已经来了，所以你经常来。
Stick around. Stay with us. You'll become not new anymore.
那么你就跟我们待在一起嘛，逐渐逐渐的你会了解的越来越多。
So, I'm going to use my hands to explain this term, Madhyama.
那么我现在用我的手来示意解释这个词，Madhyama这个词。
Madhyama means like middle.
那么 Madhyama 的意思就是中间。
There's a beginner, like you're just beginning. You're down, beginning.
就像是你们是初级者，一开始加入进来的。
And then comes middle.
然后呢，接着是进入到中级的。
And then comes the topmost.
然后最后是到这个顶级的阶段。
So the middle stage of devotion is a very important stage of devotion.
那么在奉献服务的这个中级的这个阶段是非常重要的一个阶段。
Because persons in the very beginning stage, they're just learning. They don't have so much understanding, and it's nice, but they can't give bhakti to others so easily. They don't know so much about it.
那么处在初级阶段的奉献者呢，因为他们对这个灵修的这个知识不是非常的了解，所以他们不容易把他们所学的bhakti太发给其他的人，让他人去接受。
Now we'll go way up to the topmost stage of devotion.
那么然后让他们去的
topmost stage of devotion.
让他们就是到那个奉爱服务的顶级阶段。
Persons in the topmost stage of devotion, they just see Krishna everywhere.
那么在奉献服务的最高的阶段的奉献者们，他们看到Krishna无处不在。
They can see the fact that each spirit soul, they're constitutionally servants of Krishna.
每一个个体灵魂都是 Krishna 的，他们的这种构成性地位都是 Krishna 的仆人奉献者。
Everyone is serving Krishna.
每一个人都在服务 Krishna.
So how is that person going to give devotion to Krishna to one who is already serving Krishna?
那么这样的一位人，他们如何去把已经在服务，都在服务 Krishna 的？ 怎么把这个 bhakti 去给你正在服务 Krishna 的那些人呢？
Now we'll go down to the middle position.
现在我们降下来，降到中级的阶段。
Please listen carefully because we're being trained to come to the middle position.
所以请大家专注的聆听，因为我们现在正在受到训练，能够提升到中级的阶段。
In the middle position of devotion,
在奉爱服务的中级阶段。
The scriptures teach us.
那么在经典里面告，这样我们给我们这样的教导。
That we're supposed to function on with four different principles.
那么我们有四个基本的原则。
There's God or Krishna, and we're supposed to worship and serve Krishna.
有神是我们是至尊的至尊主，我们要服务他 Krishna.
Then there's devotees of Krishna.
第二个原则就是奉 Krishna 的奉献者。
And we're to make friends with devotees of Krishna.
我们要以 Krishna 的奉献者为友。
And serve them in an appropriate manner.
而且呢，我们应该以正确的心态去服务 Krishna 的奉献者。
And then there's people that are innocent. They're not yet devotees of Krishna, but they're very innocent.
那么还有一种就是他们看到有那些无知的人，他们虽然不是 Krishna 的奉献者。
And so we're told that we're supposed to be very kind to those persons.
那么在经典里面教导我们，我们应该对这一类人非常的
Help them in whatever way we can, especially by giving them some appreciation and understanding of Krishna. And then there's a category way at the bottom, and these are people that are like what Maharaj was speaking about this morning, duskritis, persons that are never even want to hear about Krishna. If you didn't hear the morning class, listen to recording. It was a very nice class. He told the story of one man that he didn't want to hear about Krishna. He put bells on his ears, and whenever people would talk about Krishna, he'd move his head so the bells would ring and he wouldn't have to hear Krishna. So we keep a respectful distance from those people. We don't intimately associate with them. Now, let's speak again about the middle stage, seeing innocent people. What do they do when they see innocent people? According to the teachings, they're to be very kind to those persons. Their heart is like a vessel, like a bowl. And in that vessel, it has liquid bhakti. And they find an innocent person and they spill a little bhakti on them. They give them some prasadam. Or some festival and they hear the holy name. Or they give them some little book on the life of Krishna or the teachings of Krishna. Even unknowingly, they engage that person in a little devotional service. Now that innocent person now has received bhakti. So in this way, bhakti creates bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna is very merciful. The Sanskrit word is kripa. So Krishna has a potency of mercy. And he gives a license to this Madhyama devotee. You take some of my mercy and you can give it to whoever you like. Let's go back to the big Glubjaman example. Krishna is full of this Glubjaman-like or juicy-like quality of mercy. And Krishna says to his devotee, here, you take this, the fullness of my mercy, And you can give it to whoever you like. Now, the very beginning devotee doesn't know so much about bhakti. And the very advanced devotee, the topmost devotee, is seeing everyone is engaged in serving Krishna. Now this middle position devotee, they're making some distinctions between who they give bhakti to and who they don't give bhakti to. They're looking for innocent people. And they're avoiding the atheistic people. At least as far as giving bhakti to them is concerned. In a very simple and indirect way, like prasadam distribution, they can give the beginning of devotion to such a person anyway. So, when the Madhyama, this middle position devotee, associates with others, it's the bhakti within their heart that is being given. That's the essence of the exchange. Now, let's give a practical example. Most all of you have some kind of a job, some income. It's national holiday, so you're here. Otherwise, you'd be at work. Now, after the national holidays, you'll go back to work. But you're carrying bhakti in your heart. And you're hearing teachings that says, those persons in the workplace that are innocent, in an appropriate manner, give bhakti to them. In an appropriate manner, those innocent people in the workplace, think how you can give bhakti to them. So maybe you take some prasadam from your home. And people will go, oh, what's that? It's a mooncake. You have one. We offered it to Krishna. But you don't tell them we offered it to Krishna. You're giving them Krishna's mercy. And then you say, I learned to make some special things during this national holiday. I learned how to make glove jamans. And then next day you bring a glove jamin. Wow, that was good. And wait till you find out what I bring you tomorrow. And slowly, slowly you can engage them in devotional service. And in different ways, just by carrying devotion in your heart, it's beneficial for those who are around you. As you cultivate or increase the devotion within your heart,
当你逐渐地去培养, 去增加心中的 bhakti, 奉爱,
you'll see more and more ways in which you can convey or pass that bhakti on to others. And that's what Vishwanath is saying here. It's the middle stage devotee who is giving devotion to the heart of another person. Now here's a question he asks. Where did that bhakti come from? They got it from another person who was a Madhyama Bhakti who gave them some bhakti. And the original source is Bhakti Devi herself. And he's already established. She's independent, just as Krishna is independent. So bhakti gives bhakti. That's how bhakti begins. So we have a very, very, three times, very important service. We're being trained to come to this middle stage. And there are two very important parts. We should discriminate who we intimately associate with. And we should give bhakti to those who are innocent. And that's the Hare Krishna movement. Now supposing I'm lazy. I got bhakti and I'm just happy just having bhakti. Then I don't go anywhere. I don't come from New York to China and talk to you about bhakti. And Maharaj just goes somewhere to India or wherever he wants to go and, you know, forget you guys. We're not going to do that because we've been trained to be Madhyamas. And we're training you to be Madhyamas. So don't be complacent. Give bhakti to others, especially innocent people. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. This is a summary statement now. He gives his mercy to his devotee. And he says, you kindly give my mercy to whoever you like. And his mercy flows as their mercy flows. Sometimes devotees think, I'm just a beginner. What can I do? I need help myself. So I'll just stay home. Read some books, chant Hare Krishna. And let the advanced devotees do all the work. Don't think like that. Krishna will give you the power to give his mercy to others. Note, false ego is absent.
那么当然了, 这个假自我, 这样呢就会假自我就不会存在。
It's not you doing something, it's rather Krishna using you as an instrument for his mercy.
不是说是你在做，而是 Krishna 让你成为派发他仁慈的工具。
Just let your false ego get out of the way for a little bit, and then Krishna's mercy will flow into the lives of others.
让我们把假自我放在一边吧，让 Krishna 的仁慈进入到你的内心。
So basically, the chapter is finished.
到此为止呢，这一章就结束了。
But he adds some other very nice points.
但是呢，在这里面呢，还加了另外一个非常重要的一个要点。
But they're just additional points for clarification.
那么就是另外的附加的一点，是为了来更加说明的。
So take a little pause here.
所以我们现在呢，小休息一会儿。
Who here has read?
停顿一下。
Who here has read chapter 3 Bhagavad Gita?
在这里面 ，chapter 3，对这个《薄伽梵歌》读过比较熟的举手。第三章。
Come on. Yeah.
薄伽梵歌第三章。
Okay. Chapter 3 Bhagavad Gita.
在薄伽梵歌第三章。
That's very, very telling. I heard you ask how many have read Ishopanishad, and two or three people raised their hands. Okay. I'm going to give you a little Bhagavad Gita Chapter 3 lesson.
那么现在呢，我要对薄伽梵歌第三章来进行给大家讲一节课。
It connects to this message.
那么薄伽梵歌的第三章跟我所讲述的这刚才讲述的内容是息息相关的。
Those of you that have not read chapter 3, please answer the following question. What does the word karma mean?
那么那些没有阅读薄伽梵歌第三章的人现在来回答这样的一个问题。
What does the word karma mean?
Karma 是什么意思?
Who would like to volunteer?
谁能够自告奋勇地回答这个问题?
This Mataji right here.
Explain. 那你解释是什么意思？
前世的活动的结果。
The fruit of the previous life. The fruit.
Who else would like to say? You had your hand up.
你刚才举手了。
Yes.
是我们在人世间所有从事的那个关于物质的这种工作这种活动都是称之为 karma.
So, no matter what kind of the job we have in this material world is called karma.
And what's behind it?
那么再解释一下这后面的。
When I do karma, what is it that I want?
那你当你做这种果报当你从事这种 karma 的时候你想要什么
I want a result.
我想得到结果是不是
Yes. And karma is working to achieve some result.
那么 karma 就是工作要得到某种结果达到某种结果。
Now, can you think of any example where you do something without any expectation of result?
那你能不能举出这样想出一个这样的例子？我做一件事情不期待的任何的结果。
我们就是在 Bhakti 奉爱服务当中，就是去帮助一个人，或者说看到一个人有困难的时候，我们知道可能我们把我们的钱给出去以后，不会有任何回馈。
For example, when we do devotional service, see somebody need help, then we give him or her some financial support without expecting any fruit.
Okay, that's a nice example. That's mode of goodness work.
那么这是一个好例子，这是一种善良形态的活动。
I'm going to carry on.
我现在继续。
There's another word.In Sanskrit, it's kama, means desire.
那么在梵文当中还有另外一个词叫 karma, 它的意思是欲望或者是愿望。
So, karma yoga is where I offer the fruit in sacrifice to the Supreme.
那么 karma yoga 就是我去牺牲 我的活动的结果，祭祀我的活动的结果，把它供奉给至高无上的主。
I go to work.
我去工作。
I receive some pay for my work.
然后呢，我通过工作得到这种回报。
And I take some part of the pay from work, and I do something that's service to the Supreme or sacrifice to the Supreme.
然后我把我的这个活动的，就是这个工资的结果的工资的部分。用来牺牲祭祀给至尊主。
Generally, that's done because I'm expecting something.
那么通常情况下这么做的时候，我们期待的有某种回报。
Even the example that you gave.
即便是你给出的这个例子。
I may give some money to someone that needs some money, but I'm expecting some appreciation at least.
那么当就是刚才你举出的那个例子，我去帮助那些需要。在经济上有帮需要在经济上给予他们帮助的人，但是你可能会祈求得到一种这种认可或者欣赏。
That's in this world.
那么这是在这个世界。
And then by that act of charity, I'm expecting something in the next world, next life.
那么通过做这样的布施，可能在下一世取得到能够得到什么样的结果
？By acts of kindness or goodness.It's common all over the world. There's elevation to a higher destination.
那么通常情况下，通过从事这种善良形态的活动，它会逐渐的被得以提升。
That's called in chapter 3, sa kama karma yoga, or offering the fruits to the Supreme with the idea I'm going to get something back.
通过这样的活动去提升自己，让自己到达一个更好的一种境界，更好的一种情况。
Generally, people don't do any of this.
那么通常是
They don't follow that principle. They don't live by that principle in their life.
通常情况下，人们不是依靠这种原则去生活的。
But some persons may follow that principle in their life.
但是呢，有些人他们去按照这种原则去生活。
Supposing they do that for years and years and years, that's just the principle of their life.
那么，例如这个有些人很多年来，他们去依赖这样的原则去生活。
Their condition then becomes purified or elevated.
那么他们的这种境况呢，得到了净化，得到了提升。
And they may come to the stage of no material desire, no expectation, like you described.
那么他们可能会到达这样的境界。无欲无求，不期待任何的回报。
That's rare.
没有，这就是没有物质的欲望。
It's described in chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita.
这在《薄伽梵歌》第三章最有描述。
So here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says.
这就是在这里面，是个 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 说到了。
Here's this nishkam karma.
这是 nishkama karma.
Karma.
Nishkama karma.
That's offering results to the Supreme without any expectation.
这就是把活动的结果供奉给至尊主，不求任何的回报。
That doesn't create bhakti. That's what he says.
这就产生出了 bhakti. 这就是他所说的。
Unless you're engaged in devotional service and you're trying to do something.Where you're offering the fruits to the Supreme, and it's a limb or a component of your life of devotion.
那么，除非你从事这样的奉献服务，bhakti.
You follow. Maybe it's a little technical.
可能得有一点技术上的。
As I said, this section he's giving now some further detail.
那么，这本书呢，会给出对此给出非常详细的描述。
It's something like an artist.
就像是艺术家。
Sandini is an artist.
Sandini,
so supposing Sandini, you finish a painting.
那么，例如假如 Sandini 他完成了一个绘画。
And some time passes.
他要这种花一段时间。
And you're thinking, maybe I'll add some.Jewelry to the person, or put some ornament in their hair. You add a little detail.
可能就是有，然后他就会想，我可能要对这个画进行细节上的加工。 头上的皇冠或者是身上戴上一些首饰戴上一些珠宝什么之类的
something like that
就像是这样子
this is something like that
所以就是
Vishwanath has already explained where does bhakti come from? It comes from bhakti.
那么 Vishwanath 在这里面说到了 bhakti 是来自哪里？它是 bhakti 来自于 bhakti.
Now he's adding some detail.
现在呢，他对此进行细节上的描述。
There's very high grade types of yoga. Nishkam karma yoga is very high.
那么有一种就是 yoga， 他们非常的高深精进，这就是他从事的 nishkam karma。Yoga.
Working,
他工作,
offering the results of one's work to the Supreme,
把自己活动的结果供奉给至尊主,
without any expectation of getting something back.
并且不祈求任何的回报, 不取别任何的回报。
Is that the cause of bhakti?
那么这会产生出 bhakti 吗?
Vishwanath is saying no.
Vishwanath 在这里说到不。
It's something like taking wet wood, putting wet wood near a fire, and making it dry wood.
那么这呢，就像是把这个湿的木材，让把它放到火的旁边，把这个湿的木材烤干。
That dry wood is now going to be very easy to ignite.
现在呢，这个干燥的木材很容易就被烧着。
Compared to when it was wet.But the fact that it's now dry wood, it's not the same as fire.
但是呢，这个事实上，这个干的干材呢，它不是说是像火一样。
So bhakti is like the fire.
那么 bhakti 它就像火一样。
And this example of doing something for other people, sacrificing from my own pocket for something for their welfare, that's very nice.
不向别人布施进行这种经济上的支撑这是一种非常好的善良的行为
Selfless, compassionate work is appreciated all over the world
这种无私的非常怜悯充满怜悯之情的这种活动在世界任何地方都会受到欣赏
Vishwanath is saying but that's not bhakti
但是 Vishwanath 他在这里面说到了这不是 bhakti
It's very good but it's not bhakti
就是这种活动非常
Unless one is doing that for the satisfaction of Krishna.
除非一个人为了 Krishna 而供奉你的活动的结果，从事这样的活动。
Go ahead.
继续。
是这样，我有个疑问，就是说这个工作的这个结果，比如说每个月的工作的收入，那怎么通过什么样的形式供奉给 Krishna 呢？
So, for example, how and in which form we offer our income to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord? In which way?
Nice question.
这是一个很好的问题。
I can think of so many examples of what you can do.
那么我在这里，我脑子里想到了很多的例子，你能够去做的，去追随的。
I'll give three examples.
我给你三个例子。
But the number is unlimited.
当然了，例子是无数的，我举出其中的三个例子。
There's a newly forming Bhaktivedanta Book Trust that wants to print books here in China for the Chinese people. Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in China to print Prabhupada's books for all the Chinese people.
那么这个Bhaktivedanta 信托投资公司为中国奉献者会印刷这种中文的这种书籍。
To print books, they need money.
当然了，去印刷这些书籍，我们需要资金。
So you can contribute to the book fund, so they can print books to give to all the people of China.
所以呢，你可以把这些，就是你的这些收入给这个印刷的，就是信托投 BBT， 给中国的这个 BBT， 让给他们布施，让他们去印书。
Here's another one.
还有一个例子。
There are plans for forming.Efforts to give prasadam to people who are hungry.
那么他们还有这样的一个计划，就是为那些非常饥饿的人们，向他们派发 prasadam.
It's called called Food for Life.
就被称为生命营养工程。
So, some funds can be given to Food for Life, to feed people that are hungry with Krishna Prasadam.
所以呢，需要就是有一些资金来支撑这种生命营养的活动，把这些 Krishna Prasadam 派发给这些饥饿的人。
And they're engaged in chanting Hare Krishna also along with receiving Krishna Prasadam.
而且呢，他们通过他们接受 Krishna 之觉 Krishna 的这些 Prasadam， 他们逐渐的会唱着。
That's another example.
还有一个例子。
Here's a third example.
那么这是第三个例子。
We're in this nice space here where it's like very comfortable and it's very nice.
我们现在在这里还有一个小小的基地，这个地方啊待得很舒适。
And there are some devotees thinking, it's nice, but we can't accommodate everybody, and if we had a bigger space and more rooms, we could have better programs. So some devotees are out looking for a place like that.
所以呢，现在有的奉献者会这样想，如果这个地方再大一些，能够去容纳越来越多的奉献者，让他们在这给他们提供住宿。那么我们现在需要比这更大的地方，现在有的奉献者正在寻找这样的地方，当然如果这样去做的话也需要资金。
And there's unlimited numbers of things.
所以呢，这样的例子是无数的。
Those are some nice things.
那么这样去就是做这样的事情，就做这样的捐赠是非常非常好的。
What it takes to feed everybody, there's some cost, so let me contribute something to feed the Vaishnavas.
所以呢，那么奉献者提供素食食物就需要一些资金，所以我们可以在这方面做出努力。
Yeah，
可以吗？还可以提问吗？
Sure， you're doing great.
我们先说。
So many questions.
But this is the last one.
但是这是最后一个，好吗？
精神分裂，它是在这个灵性世界，它是怎么来解释这个事情的？我从小到大呢，我母亲呢，一直呢，就是从我九岁那年，然后以后呢，就是说这个她的那个精神状态非常的紊乱，然后呢，会经常的哭啊闹，然后呢，有的时候会经常去就是打去骂人，还有呢，就是会别人呢不理解她，然后呢会吃了很多苦。那时候呢，我也不理解她，那时候呢，我曾经很不理解他，很怨恨他。但是后来以后，通过学习传统文化，学习的孝道以后呢，我就觉得，妈妈很不容易，是一个非常伟大的女人。然后呢，我不知道用什么方式可以去帮得到她。然后每次看到她这个，躺在这里的就是我的妈妈，啊，然后呢，我觉得我不知道用什么样的方式能够帮得到她。我有的时候会念诵，但是念诵的时候呢，可能会有，会担心她。然后呢，我也希望通过我做工作呢，做一些什么样的事情能够帮助到我妈妈。然后呢，我也愿意呢，把我工作的收入呢，除了维持生活以外的收入呢，全部都贡献出来，去做这样一个事情。
So my main question is that I don't know how to help my mother, because from very young my mother got some mental problem. Sometimes he said the bad words to others like that.So others cannot understand her. So when I was very young, I also couldn't understand her. But later on, through the Chinese traditional training, I gradually understand my mother. My mother is a great woman. So, but I still cannot understand how to explain what.Mental state
of his mother.
Of her mother. I would like to do some offering, for example, to sacrifice my income, part of my income to Lord Krishna. For example, during the national days, I donate some money to buy the flowers.
Nice.
And So I don't know how to help my mother. In which way?
Without knowing the detail of the circumstance, it's hard to comment.
那么因为不太了解这个你的这个具体的情况，所以呢就很难给出一个具体的回答。
But I can say one thing for sure.
但是呢，有一点我是能够肯定的。
If you become an elevated soul, you're doing the best service you can for your mother.
那么如果你能够成为一个非常崇高精进的灵魂，那么你就是为你的母亲做了最好的、最有益处的事情。
Because your spiritual merit will go to her, even she does nothing.
即便是你的妈妈没有做任何的奉爱，但是你的这个灵性的这种这种灵性的这种优势就已经给你的妈妈造福于她了。
Just by that family connection.
就是因为你们之间的这种亲情关系。
I'm here in China. My family members are back in the United States.
那么我现在本人在中国，我的家人呢在美国。
They want me to spend more time with them.
我的家人呢希望我花更多的时间跟他们在一起。
I spend some time with them.
有的时候我花一点时间跟他们在一起。
But I spend more time with other people than them.
但是呢，我花的时间就是在别人身上花的时间，比跟他们在一起花的时间更多一些。
And slowly they've started to understand.
然后逐渐逐渐的，我的家人明白了。
They're benefiting by having a brother who is so dedicated to Krishna.
然后他们就逐渐的明白了。我通过我的这个我的这个弟弟或者是兄长，通过他对 Krishna 所做的这些活动，我们也得到了其中的益处。
Both indirectly and directly.
这两者是通过直接的或间接的方式来表现出来。
Directly because when they think of me, they think of Krishna.
那么
when they think of me, they think of Krishna because my connection with Krishna.
那么逐渐的他们就会这样，他们一想到我就会想到 Krishna, 因为我跟 Krishna 之间有这种连接。
That's directly.
这是直接的。
And then indirectly.
And 间接的呢？
The same Krishna that's in my heart is in their heart.
那么同样的，在我心中的这同一位 Krishna 也在他们的内心。
And somehow the karmic connection between brother and sister is there.
那么由于某种原因呢，就这种兄弟之情。
So whatever spiritual merit I gain. They're also benefiting from.
所以呢，无论我在灵性上得到什么样的福祉，他们也会受益。
Krishna becomes kind upon them as the more I become dear to Krishna.
那么呢 ，Krishna 也会对于他们仁慈，就像是Krishna 对我。
I'm absolutely certain and confident of that fact.
我对这一点是确信无疑的。
So I could spend more time with them.Or I could spend more time with all of you.
那么我可以和他们花更多的时间在一起，或者是跟你们花更多的时间在一起。
I just want to do what's pleasing to Krishna.
我只是想做能够取悦 Krishna 的事情。
And I think this is very pleasing to Krishna.
而且我就想到来到这里和你们花更多的时间在一起，能取悦 Krishna.
So I'm here with you.
所以呢，我来到了这里跟你们在一起。
And you're also my brothers and sisters.
而且呢，你们还有你们的兄弟姐妹，你们的兄弟姐妹。
Because you're part and parcel of Krishna too.
因为你们也是 Krishna 的所属部分。
So, become very fixed in Krishna consciousness, and that's the best service you can do for your mother.
所以呢，在 Krishna 知觉当中，稳定的处在 Krishna 知觉当中，这是对你的母亲做出最好的，对她最有益的事情。
You had a question, but I want to finish the chapter before we are done. You had something? Okay. Now, yeah, go ahead. What's the difference between the two? That's you're asking?
Here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that Bhakti doesn't come from this kind of karma.
Yeah.
This kind of karma, karma. So, but karma yoga is a part of bhakti.
Okay.
So,
bhakti yoga.
Bhakti yoga. So, can we say in this way, karma yoga can bring one to the stage of bhakti yoga?
Not exactly.
不是这么精确。
Do you know the meaning of subset? Something. Here's a big something, and this over here is a subset of the big something.
那么，例如这里有一个大东西，那么这旁边呢，这有一个附属物。
Included within bhakti is karma yoga, gyan yoga, dhyan yoga, every yoga. Because bhakti is everything. So sometimes in Prabhupada's purports he uses karma yoga and bhakti yoga interchangeably, the same.
那么有的时候在他的书籍里面他经常就是把这个 karma yoga 还有 bhakti yoga 互相就是换着用。
Because karma yoga is a subset or a part of bhakti.
因为 karma yoga 它是 bhakti 的附属物，是 bhakti 的一部分。
Because there has to be detachment from the results of offering things to Krishna in order to come to Krishna.
而且因为我们必须要有这种气节的这种精神。把这个活动的结果供奉给至尊主。
So it can, but it doesn't necessarily lead to bhakti yoga by performing karma yoga.
那么通过从事 karma yoga 不一定能够把人带到 bhakti yoga 当中。
A lot depends on how one is being guided or the spiritual master who is guiding one in that activity.
那么还有就是取决于灵性导师去指引他如何去从事 bhakti。
And the connection one has with that teacher and the teachings of the teacher, then one can enter into the realm of bhakti.
那么这个他们之间的这个教导，就是老师所给予这个人的教导，能够把他带入到 bhakti yoga.
Does that help?
帮助你回答这个问题了。
Okay, before there's any more questions, I just want to finish the chapter.
那么在我们就是在座的人提出更多的问题之前，我想。
Bhakti is always distinct from karma and gyan.
Bhakti 总是远离 karma gyan.
Now, what does that mean?
这是什么意思？
We're practicing devotional service.
我们在这里是在从事 bhakti 奉爱服务。
To achieve the full effect of devotional service.
是为了获得完整的这个奉献服务的结果。
Do you have to become a big scholar?
你们是不是要成为大学者呢？
No.
不是。
Do you have to be very, very expert in your fruitive activities?
你们是不是要非常非常活跃的从事果报活动呢？
No.
不是。
One must devote everything to Krishna, yes.
一个人必须要把所有的一切奉献给 Krishna.
But the subtleties of karma yoga is not required.
但是呢，不一定就是非要你就是要去首先去要从事 karma yoga karma.
Particularly the fruitive spirit, the affinity for enjoying matter.
因为这个果报活动会让就是让一个人享受物质。
It's taken care of by bhakti itself. We don't need anything else.
Oh, 实际上我们只需要 bhakti 而不需要别的。
But
去从事 bhakti 的时候。
Now the opposite.
那么
we'll discuss the opposite.
我们现在来讨论另这相反的一面。
To reach the purpose behind karma yoga and gyan yoga.
Reach the purpose.
To achieve the fruit or the purpose of karma and gyan.
那么要想获得 karma 果报活动和 gyan 心智推敲的这个结果
They are dependent upon bhakti.
他们要想获得这二者的结果是要依靠 bhakti 的
And
才能达到这个结果
And bhakti is independent of them.
而 bhakti 呢是独立于这二者的。
Last point.
最后一点。
Bhakti does not even depend on purity or faith.
甚至 bhakti 不依赖于纯粹，它也不取决于信心。
Now what does that mean?
这个是什么意思呢？
It means for the practices of karma yoga, for practices of fruitive activity.
那么要想到达，要想获得果报活动的结果。
The conditions of the purity of the place and the instruments and the paraphernalia used in activities of karma kanda.
那么呢，它就是得有这种活动场地的这种纯洁度，还有这种各种条件的这种纯洁度。
Purity is absolutely essential.
所以呢，尤其是这个纯洁度是。
And for the development of knowledge.
那么要想发展知识。
One's internal condition has to be very pure, otherwise knowledge isn't possible. Higher knowledge is not possible.
除非一个人的内心是非常的纯净，否则的话，这种高深的他获得不了这种高深的知识。
Now what about us?
那我们怎么办呢？
Someone can be a very imperfect, impure personality, be engaged in devotional service, and very quickly become purified by the power of bhakti itself.
那么通过 bhakti 本身的力量，即使 bhakti 本身的力量，一个不完美、不纯粹的人，他很快就会变得完美，变得纯粹。
And I already mentioned this item of faith.
而且我们刚才提到了信心这一元素，这一点。
Just like describing going into your place of work and bringing prasadam to people.
就像是你去到工作的地方，把 prasadam 带给你的工作的伙伴。
They may not even know it's prasadam.
他们甚至都可能不知道那是 prasadam.
But if they take the prasadam, unknowingly they'll get spiritual benefit.
但是如果他们接受了 prasadam, 荣耀了 prasadam, 他们就会不知不觉的，在不知情的情况下得到这样的灵性。
Or we may hold a public festival.
或者是给他们这个参加节日。
I've seen photographs of Jagannath Rath Yatra public festival here in China.
我看到了在中国举行弹车节的这个照片。
And people see.
人们看到奉献者。
And people hear.
然后人们听到奉献者的唱诵。
They may not know what it is.
他们可能不知道这是什么。
But their spiritual benefit in devotion is beginning.
但是呢，他们通过这样的就是这种奉爱的灵性的福祉已经开始了。
Even unknowingly, one might engage in devotional service.
即便是他们在不知不情，即便他们是在不知情的情况下从事奉献服务。
Supposing somebody does some cleaning in the hall here.
例如，假如这里有个人在打扫这个大厅。
They're just doing a little. They you know want to help, and so they're doing a little volunteer service.
那么呢，这样的一个人，他就是自愿的来帮助大家做一些这种事情。
Their devotional service has begun.I'll tell a little story.
我现在讲一个小故事。
Prabhupada's story.
是关于跟Srila Prabhupada相关的故事。
One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in the storefront at 26 Second Avenue.
当Srila Prabhupada在第二大街给讲课的时候。
The space at 26 Second Avenue looks like a subway car.
那个时候呢，第二大街的那个地方，它就像是 subway car.
Subway car. Like a train car. It's long and narrow.
它的那个地方啊，就是像地铁似的那个，非常狭窄。
There's a window by the street side.
在那个靠在街上的那边有面窗户。
A door next to the window.
那么在这个窗户的旁边就是门。
And Prabhupada sat at the other end.So the devotees would sit in front of Prabhupada with their back to the door and the window, looking at him.
然后呢，这个奉献者坐在Srila Prabhupada的面前，他们背对着这个窗户。
So one time, Prabhupada was in the middle of giving class.
那么当有一次在Srila Prabhupada正在讲课的时候。
And a drunk man came in the door.
然后那个时候呢，一个喝了醉醺醺的一个人就进来。
And he staggered, literally staggered. He was like.
他就是跌跌撞撞的。
Walking through the devotees, to heading towards the bathroom.
然后呢，他就穿过了奉献者，就直接的去到了洗手间。
And he had two rolls of toilet paper in his hand.
那么他手里呢就拿着两卷手纸。
And he went right to the bathroom, put the two rolls of toilet paper in the bathroom, closed the door and left.
然后呢，他就拿着这个手纸呢，就直接去到了卫生间，把这个手纸放到卫生间里，然后就出来了。
And the devotees are really disturbed, like he's interrupting Prabhupada's class.
然后奉献者那个时候呢，就觉得受到了一点打扰，因为他进来的时候呢，就打断了Prabhupada的讲课。
And they were expecting Prabhupada to make some remark about just see a drunk man. What kind of life is this? They expected Prabhupada to make some kind of criticism of the man being drunk.Prabhupada surprised them.
但是呢，释迦牟尼他的举止让他们惊讶。
He said, "This is very nice. His devotional service has just begun."
然后他说他这样做真好，他的奉献服务开始了。
Because apparently the man received prasadam from the devotees.
然后就像是一些人，他们从奉献者那里得到 prasadam.
And he appreciated that kindness.So according to his capacity, he did some service to reciprocate.
所以呢，根据他们的这种能力，他们做出这样的服务。
And Prabhupada was very pleased.
所以使得Prabhupada都非常高兴。
And there are many such stories about the compassion of Srila Prabhupada.
所以有很多这方面的故事，表明了使得Prabhupada的怜悯之心。
But even unknowingly, someone can do some innocent service, and they're.Their devotional service begins that way.
这边是一个人在不知不觉的情况下做了一点这种服务，但是他们的这种奉爱服务就已经开始了。
This is the last point.
这是最后一点。
Bhakti is already there.
Bhakti 已经在那里。
This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching.
这是主耶稣的教导。
Not only Bhakti is there, but prema, love of Krishna, is already there.
不仅仅是 Bhakti 已经存在了，而且是 Krishna prema 对 Krishna 纯粹的爱已经在那里。
It just needs to be awakened.
我们只是需要唤醒过来，苏醒过来。
How is bhakti awakened?
那么 bhakti 如何被唤醒呢？
By contact with a compassionate devotee.
通过去接触到那些心怀怜悯的奉献者。
So my dear devotees.
我如此多的我亲爱的奉献者们。
Please be compassionate.
请怜悯吧，对众生怜悯吧。
Find some innocent people.And even if your supply of bhakti is very little, be generous. Give some. And you'll find that by doing so, your supply of bhakti will increase. And this is the beginning chapter of.Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explaining Rupa Goswami's teachings.
那么这就开始了 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 对 Rupa Goswami 的教导的进一步的阐明
Being explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
那么通过 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 的阐释
And he ends the chapter this way.
那么他通过这样的话语来结束了这一章。
He's preparing us for the next chapters.
他为我们为下一章的学习做了铺垫，做了准备。
Now that bhakti has begun,
现在 bhakti 已经开始。
There are stages.
他们有几个阶段。
And they begin with some preliminary faith.
那么这里 bhakti 奉献服务有九个阶段，第一个是信心。
The association of devotees.
要与奉献者联谊。
The activities of devotion itself,
还有奉爱服务的活动本身
the removal of impurities of the heart through that bhakti process,
通过奉爱服务的程序去去除掉我们内心的不洁或者是不想要的东西
becoming steady in devotion,
在稳定的逐渐稳定的处在奉爱服务当中
developing a taste for devotion,
去发展对奉爱服务的品味
becoming attached,In devotion to Krishna,
Krishna
experiencing ecstasy in devotion to Krishna.
去体验到奉献服务当中的狂喜极乐。
And finally coming to the stage of love of God.
最后到达了对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱的阶段。
And that's the end of the first chapter.
这就是第一章结束，结束语。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So any, we had some nice discussion last night. Let's see if there's some questions.
昨天我们做了很好的这种讨论，现在大家有什么问题？
What time is lunch scheduled for, Sandini?2 o'clock. Okay. Go ahead.
Kanishka Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, they do not. Kanishka Adhikari cannot easily give bhakti to others, and Uttama Adhikari see Krishna everywhere, do not give bhakti to others because he see everybody is serving Krishna.And only Madhyam Adhikari can give bhakti to others. So, is there any stages for the Kanishka and the middle stage? Any different levels?
Sure.
是的。
能说一说这个中级层面分者分多少层面？
So how many levels?Madhyam stage has.
In the Gaudiya Math, they take those three and they break them into a further three. I'll explain.
Pick those three.
Kanishta. So,
yeah,
for our new people, this is terminology. Beginning, middle, and topmost.The terms in Sanskrit are Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama.
那么对这个三四个阶段的奉献者的描述，用梵文描述就是 Kanishta, Madhyam, 和 Uttama.
Got it? You two in front, I'm looking at you two. You got this?
你们记住了吗？
You follow the terms?
你们记住了这三个术语了吗？
Beginning,
初级奉献者就是 Kanishka,
middle,
中级奉献者就是
and topmost.
那么 Uttama 就是最高级的奉献者
Kanishka, Madhyama, Uttama.
Kanishka, Madhyam, Uttama.
1, 2, 3.
就是一二三，初级的、中级的、
so、
最高级的。
They say, we'll use some English terms.
那么中
beginning.In the lower stage, there's beginner, middle beginner, upper beginner.
就像是在初级阶段有最初级的最低一开始入门的，然后初级的中级阶段，初级的高级阶段。
Now for the middle.
那么对这个中级奉献者。
Beginner, middle, upper middle.
也有这个中级的初级，中级的中级和中级的高级。
And for the upper.Beginner, upper, middle, upper, and upper.
有这个高级的初级、高级的中级和高级的高级。
But it's these are categories. They're not buckets. They're stages. It's not like a bucket here and a bucket here and a bucket there. It's just like the rising of the sun.
他们的这个阶段啊，不是说是像一个小盒子的这样子。就像是太阳一样
They're gradual.
他们是逐渐的循序渐进的这样的阶段
And you'll see this in the class tomorrow.
那么明天的课程里面会对此有讲述
The rate at which all these things happen differ for different devotees.
而且就是说所有的这些阶段是奉献者随着他们的修行不断的深入
But we'll discuss that more tomorrow. All right.
When we talk about Mandyam and coming to Mandyam, it seems like we're indicating that you should come from Kanista. You should come from the lowest level up to the intermediate level. So is that actually what we practice, that we encourage the warriors first become a Kanista and then come to Mandyam?
那么关于 Maharaj 他就提出了这样的一个问题，是不是我们首先要成为 Kanishka， 然后逐渐的才会被提升到进入到终极的阶段 Madhyam Adhikari 终极的阶段。
I'll be happy to have a little discussion with you right now on this topic. It's a nice topic.
那么您刚才提出的这个问题是非常好的一个话题，我们现在进行对这个话题进行探讨。
Here's my understanding.Rupa Goswami is very merciful.
Rupa Goswami 是非常仁慈的。
And the followers of Rupa Goswami are very merciful following him.
而且呢 ，Rupa Goswami 的追随者也非常的仁慈，追随着 Rupa Goswami 的步伐。
And our representative of Rupa Goswami is Srila Prabhupada.
而我们 Rupa Goswami 的代表就是我们之一就是 Srila Prabhupada.
He engaged us very quickly in the Madhyama position.
那么呢，Srila Prabhupada 非常迅速的把我们能够让我们提升到 Madhyam Adhikari 的这个阶段。
He didn't train us up to become really fixed up Kanishtas so that we could then begin the stage of Madhyama. He didn't train us up strongly in fixed up Kanishtas.Beginners. Here are some of the characteristics of a Kanishta. Depending upon the religious tradition, a beginner sees.God is in the place of worship.
那么这些初学者呢，他们眼里只有在这个崇拜的地方，神的存在。
So it may be a church, it may be a synagogue, it may be a temple, but that's where God is.
那么他们可能就是在那个，可能这些地方是教堂或者是神庙，他们眼里只有在神庙里的或者是教堂里的神。
So when I enter.The holy place of the temple or the synagogue or the church. I go there because I want to feel the presence of God. And as soon as I walk outside, the material energy is what I encounter. So I'm very respectful and polite and nice inside the place of worship, and outside it's business as usual.
然后呢，他们在这个神庙里，在教堂里面，他们非常的表示出非常这种尊敬的举止和非常的恭敬，非常的有礼貌。但是当他们一出来之后，又跟以前一样。
And then, as far as those who are.Devotees of God or worshippers of God or serving God, I don't have much of a sense of understanding them and how to regard them properly.
然后呢，他们呢，对这些崇拜神的那些奉献者，他们不知道该如何的去跟他们相处。
And as far as the activities of hearing and chanting, not much understanding and value to that either.
然后呢，他们呢对这个唱诵，对这种念诵啊，没有很多的理解。
I'll give an example.
我给出一个例子。
In our Brooklyn Temple, Radha Govinda Mandir.
那么 Radha Govinda 这样的一个。
Every morning, we would have Bhagavatam class.
在那个庙里面，每天早上都有国家瓦坛的早课。
And one man would come in, a Kanishta Bhakta.Would come in right in the middle of the class like we weren't even in the temple room.
然后呢，有一个 Kanishta 这样的一个就是初习者，他就去到庙里面。
And he walked right in between the speaker and through the people sitting in the class heading for the altar because he was doing his ritual before the altar. And he was bringing some grains to give to the deity. And he brought them in plastic bags, and to get the grain out of the plastic bag, it was all this noise, and then huffing and puffing and putting it on the altar. And
then
he did this whole ritual with his hands folded and would turn around and say prayers out loud like we weren't even in the temple room. And then he'd go take Charnamrita over to the side. Then he would go take drops of Charnamrita. Then he walked right through the crowd of the devotees as if they weren't there to leave the temple room. And we were polite, we let the man leave the temple room and we go outside the temple room and explain to him, please don't interrupt the class. It's our daily activity here. No matter how many times we would tell him, he'd just keep doing it every day. He was a fixed up Kanishta. Prabhupada didn't train us to become fixed up Kanishtas. He engaged us in hearing and chanting, which is a Madhyama activity. And he taught us respecting the devotees and so many things that are Madhyama activities. I remember Vipramukhya Swami telling this story. A Vipramukhya Swami, a god brother that he knows. The second day that he was in the temple, he was given a book bag and sent to Penn Station to distribute books. And he was thinking, I just got here. He didn't go alone. But he went to a train station with some other devotees to do Madhyama activity. I heard him say it at least 10 times. It was like astonishing to him. He was very surprised that he was being engaged like that right away. But that's what we did. We were very quickly encouraged to become qualified in this intermediate stage. In thinking about it in hindsight, a little more training would have been good. A little more prior training before directly sending people out would have been good. He's a good translator.
Thank you, Maharaj, for helping me.
Yes, Sandini.
有的奉献者很多年也很慢。 这是不是取决于上师他是负责辅导的哪个阶段，就哪个层面。
So he said that some devotees make a very rapid progress、in Krishna consciousness, but some of them、very slowly. So it depends on the devotional service in previous life, which stage in previous life.
It depends on a number of things.
那么这取决于好几件事，好几个原因。
Again, I invite Nrisimha Maharaj to comment if he likes.
那么我现在再回到 Maharaj, Nrisimha Maharaj.
Here's something that I've observed over the years.
那么在这里我观察到几点。
A new devotee starts to take up Krishna consciousness.
一些新人他们开始修习奉献服务。
And very quickly, they reach a certain platform of practice.
然后呢，就有一些人，他们很快的、很迅速的就到达奉献服务的某一个层面阶段。
And then from that position, it takes much longer to go further.
然后呢，他们从那个阶段呢，又得花很长时间再进一步的深入，到达更高的阶段。
And somebody else beginning devotional service, they go.To a higher position or someone a lower position, but after very quickly they come to that, whatever that level of their spiritual progress is, I see that as their previous life just being resumed, and now they're picking up where they left off.
然后呢，无论是就是说这个奉献者他还是处在什么样的一种阶段，低初级阶段或者是比较精进的阶段。
That means.Their previous life devotion is just below the surface.
前世的奉献服务在地下一点。
前一世的奉献服务就是处在他现在的奉献服务稍低的这种境界当中。
But there's another very important factor.
但是还有一个非常重要的事实是。
Besides our previous life.
在除了他
And that has to do with our attachments.
而且呢，这是跟我们的这种依附有关。
You know this story, I'm sure.
我想你们都知道这个故事。
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked a question during a parikrama in Vrindavan.
在那个 Vrindavan 做绕拜的时候，被有人向他提出这样的问题。
All day long they were visiting holy places in Vrindavan and at night they held an evening discourse or class.
那么他们在白天的时候就是在 Vrindavan 进行绕拜，晚上的时候就有点课。
And someone asked Bhaktisiddhanta the very question you asked.
那么呢，有些人呢就问了刚才在座的奉献者所问的，像 Bhaktisiddhanta 在塔库问了相同的问题。
We observe that sometimes devotees doing equal amount of devotional service with equal enthusiasm, one makes very rapid progress and another doesn't progress so quickly. Why is that?
那么有的人就问到了，说我们有的时候看到同样的一个奉献者，同两个奉献者，他们都同样的非常具有热情的、积极的去从事奉献服务，但是其中的一个他很快的取得了进步，但是另外的一个却没有这样，却不是这样，他比较慢。
He answered their question by telling the wedding story.
然后呢 ，Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 他讲了一个非常精彩的故事，回答了这个问题。
For our new people, I'll tell you the wedding story.
那我告诉我就是给那个新人说这样的一个精彩的故事。
The practice in India, the tradition in India is a wedding takes place in the village or the place of residence of the girl.
And
her future husband and his family travel late at night or the next morning to reach their village.
然后就是例如一个村庄里有个女孩要出嫁了，然后这个男方呢，他们就会在晚上
And then the families meet in a big festive way, and the wedding takes place. And then the newly married couple go back to the young man's village or home, and there they live together as husband and wife. So it was the evening before the wedding. And the young man and his family, they lived in a village by a river. And they had arranged in advance for a boatman to give them a night journey from their village downstream to the girls' village. So they paid the boatman, made it very clear where they were to end up in the morning, and with some festive merriment they took rest at night, thinking, oh, how nice it's going to be, looking forward to the wedding tomorrow. And the night passed with the boatman rowing all night. And then in the morning when the sun came up, they were thinking, oh, happy day, the wedding is going to take place, how nice. And then they looked around and they saw they were in the same place where they took rest at night. And they became very angry at the boatman. What have you done? You've spoiled everything. Have you gone to sleep when you were supposed to be rowing the boat? And the boatman said, no, no, I was rowing all night. I don't know what could have happened. So they looked around and looked around and they saw that he forgot to pull up the anchor. And that's the end of the story. And the message is, when you're trying to make spiritual progress, don't maintain material attachments while trying to make spiritual progress. They don't go well together.
So
it's not that as a practicing devotee you have to give things up. What one has to give up is attachment to things that are temporary. And specifically, the attachment to being the enjoyer of those things. Instead, let those things be used in service to Krishna. Many of you have cars. That's probably how many of you got here. It doesn't mean to practice devotional service, you have to give up your car. You use your car in service to Krishna. And same for everything that you can think of that can be offered in Krishna's service. So, spiritual progress can be very slow for one person and very quick for another person, depending upon how they regard the paraphernalia of their household or the things that are around them in the mood of enjoyment or in the mood of service to Krishna.
他这个一个人他可能取得灵性进步很快，对于另外一个人他可能比较慢，这是取决于他是以什么样的心态去利用他所身边的这一切，用来是用来服务 Krishna 还是用来自我的感官享乐。
Anything else?
还有别的吗？
有的人跟我说，那个都帕克斯妈咪说，如果要是想成功的话，必须那个自发奉献服务。但是呢，我跟他解释呢，我就说，那个加德纳修行是特别重要的，没有规范修行不会达到这个自发的奉献服务。但是他说，我们都不够资格，但是呢必须得有灵性导师给予你的自发服务，就直接给予你自发服务。后来我说，一个修行必须要灵性导师和自己的努力。我也不知道我这种那个回答正确不正确，谢谢。
Some devotee told me that Rupa Goswami said that unless a devotee practices devotional service, a spontaneous devotional service, he can be successful in devotional service. And I told that devotee that sadhana bhakti is very important in our life. If we do not have sadhana bhakti, we cannot come to the stage of spontaneous bhakti. So that person told me that if unless the spiritual master directly gives you spontaneous bhakti, and I told him that we need the spiritual master guidance, and at the same time we also try to our best and to try to make effort ourselves. So I answered, my answer is correct or not?
Did she get it right?
Pretty much.
Okay. Just hearing the whole picture, it's maybe like maybe an 80 or 85%. Here's some additional things. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is a book by Sanatana Goswami, he describes the stage of spiritual perfection that's not on the Raghunuga Bhakti stage.
Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is Sanatana Goswami, wrote in a book, he described the perfect stage of spiritual perfection.
It's not on the Raghunuga stage. Here's an example. Maharaj Ambarish.
Maharaj Ambarish.
Nrisimha Maharaj spoke about Maharaj Ambarish this morning. He was on the platform of pure devotion. He attained Vaikuntha. He was not engaged in Raghunuga Bhakti, he was engaged in Shuddha
Bhakti.
But Lord Chaitanya came to give us, beyond the Vaikuntha mood of Bhakti, the spontaneous kind of devotion that's found in Vrindavan. So what you said is correct.
那么你所说的是对的。
Hearing and chanting is essential.
唱诵和聆听是非常重要的。
Yesterday, were you here yesterday?
你昨天来了吗？
来了。
Yes.
Okay. I spoke about a follower of Lord Chaitanya who offended Krishna Priya. After that offense, he started concocting his own teachings.
那么在那个昨天我讲述了就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的一个追随者，他那个时候批评了Lakshmi Priya 这样一位奉献者。
Krishna Priya.
Krishna Priya.
So, part of the concoction was what this person said to you.
那么呢，他实际上就是自创自编的，说了自己的那一套理论，就像刚才那个人告诉你的。
The teaching went something like this.
就是像那个人所说的那样的所谓的教导。
Hearing and chanting is on the platform of sadhana.
那么唱诵和聆听是处在 sadhana 奉献服务的这种层面上。
That's for beginners.
这是给初级奉献者的。
Raganuga is for persons who become advanced.
Raganuga 是为那些精进的奉献。
And you can practice Raganuga just by remembrance of Krishna.
你可以只是通过意念 Krishna 就可以从事 Raganuga 奉献。
And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refuted his position on the strength of scripture.
那么呢 Vishwanath Chakravarti 他引述经典排斥了这一点，就是驳斥了这一点。
Now part of what the person said is also correct.
那么这你刚才说的那个人给你说的其中的部分是对的。
To go from sadhana bhakti to raganuga bhakti.One must have contact with someone who has a similar disposition.
那么一个人呢，就必须要去接触到他处在那种境界当中的那一位人。
And then one may cultivate in a natural way.
那么然后一个人呢，要在一种自然的这种方式下去培养。
In fact, there is a sadhana.For Raganuga Bhakti called Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti.
那么实际上是 Sadhana Bhakti 进阶到 Raganuga Bhakti 被称为 Sadhana Raganuga Bhakti.
But at no point is there diminishing of the importance of hearing and chanting.
但是呢没有哪个地方说到了通过唱诵
At no point is there diminishing of the importance of hearing and chanting.Rather, hearing and chanting nourishes rag or spontaneous attraction.
实际上是通过唱诵和念诵，通过唱诵和聆听，滋养了我们培养对 Krishna 的这种 raganuga bhakti.
But the very first thing that you said this person said gets a zero.
但是呢，你刚才说到的那个人说到的第一开始的那部分是没什么价值。
And that is, unless you come to the stage of Raganuga Bhakti, you're nowhere.
那么他说到，除非你到达 Raganuga 阶段，否则的话不会取得成功，这是没有这回事。
It's wrong and it's insulting.
而且这不仅仅他不仅说错了，而且几乎就是一种这种。
Maharaj Ambarish
是一种亵
渎。Maharaj Ambarish is a loser.He's a lost fellow.
A lost fellow. 如果是这样的话，那他肯那 Ambarish Maharaj 他就是一个失败者。
I don't know what the person said, but if that's what the person said, it's offensive.
那么我不知道那个人是谁，说这样说话的人那个人是谁，但是他说出这样的话是一种冒犯之举。
So we want to come to we should want to qualify ourselves.Progressively for further stages of devotion to Krishna.
那么我们当然希望自己逐渐的具备资格，能够逐渐的深入奉献服务，到达更高的阶段。
That's where our attention should go right now. Let us become qualified.
所以呢，这就是我们要注意的一点，就是我们要让自己具备这样的资格。
Otherwise, the so-called hankering for something higher is going to be on the material platform for sure. Prabhupada said it.
那么师父帕帕就说到了，如果是这种心态，在这种心态当中，他想取得，就是渴望到达更高的阶段的。在这种情况下，他想渴望到达更高的阶段的话，实际上是处在一种物质的层面上。
In nectar of, you're familiar with nectar of instruction?
你熟悉教诲甘露吗？
Read text 8 of nectar of instruction.
那么你去阅读一下教诲甘露第八个世界。
And you'll find Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describing the stage of bhakti, which is part of what we're discussing in this book, to be eligible to perform Raganuga Bhakti.
那么你在那个世界里面可以看到 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 在那个世界里面描述了我们在这里刚才提到的这个奉献服务的阶段，如何让一个人变得有资格进入到 Raganuga 自发的奉献服务的阶段。
He says it's on the stage of ruchi or on the advanced stage of nishtha, which our new people don't know what that means, but that's okay, we'll get there.
那么他就说到了，当一个人到达 ruchi 发展出对 Krishna 的这种奉献服务的品味，或者是在 nishtha 就是到达稳定的处在奉献服务的阶段的。
So let us become so qualified. That's our objective or target right now.
那么这就是我们现在要谈论的一个目标，一个主题。
All right.
嗯，回答你的问题吗？
我再补充一点
点啊。One more. Uh-oh.
我再补充一点点啊。就是他说，如果是自发奉献服务，一天可以能念诵到64圈到100圈。我说念诵不是在圈数，而是在质量。如果你要念诵100圈，你的品德知觉还不在的这个情况下，不好的情况下，等于就是那个质量不好，也不会达到特别好的一个效果。所以说呢，最重要的就是在，就是说他说自发奉献服务才能做到呢，就说你这个规范精神做不到，你一天能念诵64圈。好了，我说这我的观点跟他不一样。我觉得在质量最重要的在质量。
And that person told you that, and if devotee perform spontaneous bhakti, then he can every day chant 64 rounds or 100 rounds like that. And I told her that chanting depends on our quality instead of quantity. So and also emphasize the quality of the chanting to her.
Okay, very nice.
很好，就是强调这个念诵的质量，很好。
Increasing quantity is also nice.
当然了，增加这个唱诵的圈数也是很好的。
But quantity follows quality.
但是呢，这个必须要保证质量的同时增加这个。
Naturally, that happens naturally.
那么这种情况是自然而然的就发生了，保证了质量。
Something else.
Anyone else? 还有其他人提出问题吗？
那帮个。
对，就是有时候念诵完了
之后，We have a half an hour and then we're going to break.
现在还有半个小时。
我刚才看到姑姑妈妈你写那个。Bhakti 总是远离 karma 和 gyana， 然后您讲的那个 karma 和 gyana， 在做 karma 和 gyana 的时候也是有依附 Bhakti 的。那么，请您能不能给出一个例子，来解释一下
？In lectures, said that karma and Bhakti aloof from.Karma and gyana.
Yeah.
So, but in order to get the purpose of the karma and the gyana, it depends on bhakti.
Yeah.
So, could you give us an example to explain it?
Sure.
可以，没问题。
We like reading Bhagavad Gita.
我们都喜欢读《国家梵歌》。
And Srimad Bhagavatam.
还有《国家梵谈》。
and Madhurya Kadambini. But that, for us, that's not Gyan, it's inspiring our devotion to Krishna. It's a limb of bhakti. It's a limb of bhakti. Now go the other direction. There's a man that comes to our temple in New York. And he's a Gyani. He comes to every Sunday feast. And he has this bag full of books. He comes and sits down in the temple room. And he just reads his books. Arti is going on, he's reading his books. Class is going on, he's reading his books. Guru Puja is going on, he's reading his books. There's only one thing he puts his books away for. Prasadam. He puts his books in his bag. He goes downstairs. And he has these special containers along with his books that he puts prasadam in to take home. He's a prasadam bhakta. Because he knows if he doesn't come and attend the aarti in the class, you're not going to give him prasadam, so he comes and reads his books. But he's getting benefit anyway. Because even he's not paying attention, the sound of the class and the kirtan and the guru puja is there. We have a nice plant in the temple room. There's like, you know, a nice live plant. We water the plant and the plant grows. So he's a little bit like the plant that just hears the kirtan in the class. But he's a Gyani. He likes to study. But because Krishna prasadam and Krishna nama is there just hearing, gradually he'll come to the platform of bhakti. So, to get the fruit of his efforts of cultivation of knowledge, to go to the spiritual platform, he needs bhakti. And here's another example of karma. We have a temple that's a little bit out in the country in New Jersey, near New York City. And it's on about 4 acres of land. 4 acres of land. It's on some land. So there's trees and there's grass. It takes some time to cut the grass and clip the trees and keep the landscaping nice. So there's a young man, that's what he does for a living. And he really likes during the summer coming and mowing the grass and clipping the trees and keeping it looking nice.
然后呢,
每天呢，他就去到那个地方，他就骑着摩托去到那个地方，他喜欢就是园艺啊，在那里修整树木。
The fruit of his occupational work is now being applied in devotion to Krishna. The fruit of his occupation is now being applied in devotion to Krishna. And they give him some prasadam.So slowly over the last 2 years, he started going in to see the deities because he likes the deities. And then he started chanting japa because it helped him feel very peaceful. So slowly, it's becoming, you know, more elevating than just doing some work for Krishna, karma yoga. He's becoming a bit of a devotee. Does that help? In the back there?
为了姑娘对那个 Krishna 的奉献服务，甚至没有灵性得意的动机。因为我们是不是就别的阶段就不存在这种可能性？是不是我们做所有的奉献服务都是为了灵修进步？我想请姑姑给我们解释一下，谢谢。
The gopis, when they perform they perform devotional service without any motivation to get a spiritual advancement, even do not have such a motivation. So, except gopis, so other stages of devotional service, all of us have such a motivation, want to make a.Spiritual progress. Could you explain?
I don't, she's making a statement. I don't understand the question. How do we go from where we are to their position? Is that her question?
Her question is like that. In our situation, we do devotional service for spiritual advancement.
Yeah, we want something.
So, can we come to the stage as gopis?
Yeah. It's just.Jeto Darpana Marjanam. You have to cleanse your heart. And how to cleanse the heart? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama.And then you look inside and you see, wow, there's still some motivation. So then what do you do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. It's not clean yet.You get the idea. Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can continuously chant the holy name if one does so in a humble state of mind, being more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige like that. We have to qualify ourselves. And we've been in the material world too long. So many lifetimes, one can't even count how many lifetimes. Trying to be an enjoyer of matter. And now in this one lifetime, we want to become free from material desire like the gopis. That's a good desire. Be patient. Chant very nicely. Every day. Okay? Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah. Oh, she, I saw her hand first. Go ahead. She doesn't ask long questions anyways. Some of these devotees ask these really long questions. Thank you for capturing that message. Two things. Part of your service in the ashram is to make things suitable so that when people come, they come to a nice place, they feel it's clean, and it's inspiring in the mood of devotion. That's also service. I'm going to expand on that for just a moment. One of the universities that I visit in America is the Illinois Institute of Technology.
Illinois Institute of Technology.
It's a college. Anyway, you don't need to. And there are 70% of the students that attend that university are foreign students. Because it's a school of technology. Of those foreign students,
在这些国外的奉献者，国外的学生当中,
70% are from China.
有70%是来自于中国的。
Yes. 20% are from India.
然后其中20%是来自印度的。
And there's a little bit from other places too.
啊，其中剩下的就是来自于其他的各个国家。
There's a lot of Chinese students that go to that school.
所以在那所学校有很多的中国学生。
So I'm thinking, I'm serving the China Yatra by helping those young people from China that are doing their studies in America learn about Krishna at the university. The university has a policy.
那么在大学里面有这样的一个政策。
All international students, their first year, it's mandatory, it's not optional, they must take an apprentice position or an intern position in some company in the city of Chicago. An intern, apprentice, they learn. Instead of just being the ivory tower of philosophy and ideas, they have to do things practically. Here's how things happen. Here's how you do this out in the world. They have to volunteer to do something for one semester, or excuse me, one school year.
去实践这样的一年，去对他们的知识进行实践，有这样的一个经历，一段经历。
So one of our devotees graduated from that university.
所以有一个奉献者从那个学校里面大学里毕业。
And he came up with a very interesting idea.
然后呢，他突然就是想到了一个非常有趣的一个想法。
He made a written proposal.
那么他就是做了一个。
A plan.
他有一个计划。
And submitted that plan or proposal to the business school, the marketing department.
然后呢，他就把这个书面的提议呢，就给了一个商业公司里商学院的一个市场营销部。
And his plan included marketing Krishna consciousness.
然后呢，他其中就是写到了这个市场营销 Krishna 之节。
In the temple, we have a store.
那么就是我们这个庙宇里面所实践的。
A gift shop. A gift shop or gift store.
啊，就是礼品店，礼品店。
We have a vegetarian Krishna lunch. That's where we go to different colleges and have Krishna lunch.
那么就是去到各个大学里面去给他们提供中餐，就是Krishna Prasadam给他们提供中餐。
We have a Sunday program and we invite people to we market the Sunday program.
然后就是推销这个我们的这个Krishna之节的周末的节日活动。
We use the internet to promote public events that we have. There's different marketing options.
他的这个计划就是市场营销Krishna之节这个里面有各种各样的这个工程。
And he submitted the plan to the marketing department coordinator.
然后呢，他就把他的这个计划呢，就递交给了市场营销部的这个计划人、计划者。
To seek volunteers from the entering students to help us market Krishna consciousness.
然后呢，他们就选就是去选择。 一些奉献一些大学生自恋者去营销推销 Krishna 之节。
So the business school director said, "This is very interesting. We never got one like this before."
然后呢，这个商学院呢，他们就觉得挺有意思的。我们以前从来没有做过这样的事情。
But it looks okay.
他们就觉得这个计划不错。
I'll approve it on one condition.
但是呢，我们同意这样的一个计划，但是有一个条件。
You can't use this as a forum.To push your religious ideas, to put forward, to indoctrinate people, or to bring them to your religion.
但是呢，你不能够把人们带入到宗教里面。
So he said, "Sure, I agree to that."
是，马来西亚可不可
以？你都可以用你的
方式，
你这样的工作，为了吸引新的风险。
但他就说到了，但他们提出一个条件，说你不能够用你这样的方式去吸引新的奉献者来。
So, four Chinese students signed up.
然后有四个中国学生，他们填了表格。
And for something like 60 hours, they did volunteer service at the temple.
然后呢，他们 six hours.
60.
他们就是自愿的在庙里面。
And then at the end of that school year, they put together a PowerPoint presentation, and I heard each one of the four of them speak. Each of the four volunteers explained what their experience was, and I listened to them.
然后呢，就是这四个学生，他们在完成了在庙宇里的六十个小时的这种活动工作日之后。他们结束之后，他们就是对他们的经历发表了一个讲演。
Let me share with you what they said.
然后我来跟大家分享一下他们所说的他们的这种感受。
It addresses your question.
这样呢就回答了你的问题。
The first thing they said was, when we found out it was a religion or spiritual teachings, we went, oh, I don't know if I want to do this.
那么他们呢首先提到的一点说，如果我们一开始知道你们这是一种宗教或者是一种灵修的话，我们肯定不做。
But they already signed up.
但是他们已经就是签名了。
So they came.
所以他们来了。
And then the next experience was coming to the temple.
然后他们第二个体验就是他们来到了庙里。
And they said, everyone related to each other like their family members.
然后他就说到了每一个人。
And there are people there from all different countries and all different colors and all different cultures, but they treated each other like brothers and sisters. So then next I wondered, are we going to fit in? But they treated us just the same way, so we felt really happy being there.And they said, they're very energetic. I mean, dancing in kirtan. Maharaj was mentioning this morning.
Maharaj 今天早上还说到了。
You should dance more.
我们应该跳更多。
In Chicago, they dance a lot.
那么在芝加哥奉献者他们经常的舞蹈。
And these new people,That they really appreciated it.
而且呢，那些新加入来的人，他们非常的欣赏这一点。
They're so happy.
他们非常的高兴。
And then the last thing they said was.
然后他们最后提到的一点是。
I learned that I really need to have a goal of life.
然后他们就说到了，我始终学到了一点，是我真的需要生命的目标。
We had promised the university we wouldn't just.Give our teaching. So we didn't. We promised.
那么我们实际上做出了这样的一个承诺，我们不给
，do not give them.
Then teach them Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other this scriptural teachings. We didn't do that.
然后呢，我们就是在此之前，我们承诺过他们，我们不向他们去教导《不加赞歌》《不加瓦坛》这样的灵性的教导。
But their impression was. devotees have a higher goal in their life.
但是呢，在他们内心有这样一个深刻的印象是，奉献者他们有更高的生命的目标。
And they all said this. I now understand. I need a higher goal in my life.
而且他们也的确是亲口这么说到了，我需要生命的目标。
I don't know what it is, but I know I need one.
但是我不知道我的生命目标是什么，但是我知道我需要生命的目标。
The fourth person that spoke said.Let's just get right to the point. Everybody in China wants money.
然后第四个人这样说到了，说在中国的每一个人都需要钱。
That's why all of us are here studying in America to get a degree so we can go back and make lots of money. That's why we're here.
为什么我们来到美国，来到这里，得到学位之后，回到中国要赚更多的，要赚多多的钱？
No, I didn't lose my interest in getting money, but I understand I need another.Purpose and value in my life besides that one.
但是呢，现在呢，我当然了，我还没有对赚钱失去兴趣，但是我知道我现在还需要生命的目标，需要另外一件更重要的事情，就是生命的目标。
So now back to your question.
所以我现在回到你的问题上。
By living in the ashram and being an example for people who also come to pay a visit, whether it's like a gathering like this or.Spend some time or something, they can meet somebody that impresses these values upon them just by their example.
那么现在我们现在住在庙宇里面，我们要给他们给那个外来的客人，给他们这样的一个榜样，要给他们树立一个榜样，让他们看到这个在ashram里面生活的这些奉献者他们的生命的价值所在。
And the kind of relationships that you.And the other ashram residents have with each other, that's going to make a big impression upon people who come to visit.
而且就是在庙宇里，在 ashram 里面，奉献者的之间的这种亲密和睦的这种关系，给予这些来到 ashram 的客人，给他们这样一个深刻的印象。
If they read the books and the teachings are really wonderful, and they come and meet the devotees, and their behavior is really awful, that's not going to work.
那么当他们了解到就是 Krishna 真实的这个哲学是如此的高深，但是看到奉献者的这个行为举止却不怎么地的话，那么就不会就是说对他们 会起到作用。
So even staying within the ashram you can be of service to of compassion to others by setting a nice standard.
所以呢，我们即便是住在 ashram 里面，但是我们就是做好这种标准，达到做树立好这样的榜样，这也是一种服务。
And now a second part to answer your question.
现在我来就是对于回答你的问题起，第二点是。
Yes, yes, it is a good idea. Some part of your time, in consultation with whoever figures out schedules, I would like some time to go and.Meet people and be part of reaching and giving, reaching out and giving Krishna bhakti to others somehow.
当然了，就是如果你能够安排你自己的一些时间去到外面户外去跟把 Krishna 把那个 bhakti 与其他的人进行分享。
And now I'll say it again to all of you.
那么我现在对大家说这一点。
Please.Take the message of devotion and the bhakti that you have received and find some way or some other way or with others, do with them. Give the opportunity of devotion to others. This is our life.
那么请大家把你们所得到的这个 bhakti 无论是以什么样的方式尽量的去给予其他的人这是我们的生活
Prabhupada said it this way
他是这样说的
One who has life, he will preach
那么一个人活的就是为了传播 Krishna 自己
You have bhakti? Find some way to give bhakti to others, it's just natural
那么你有一个当你拥有 bhakti 的时候你自然而然的会去寻找要去把这个 bhakti 给予其他人，寻找这种方式把 bhakti 给予其他人。
Again, all of you,
是再给大家说一遍。
A little bit and a little bit and a little bit and wow, it's big.
那么每一个人给出这么一点点 bhakti, 一点点 bhakti 加起来就是非常巨大的。
And that will lift the mood of the whole sangha here, the whole group of devotees.
这样呢就能够提升这里的 sangha 奉献者的这种联谊的氛围。
Okay, it's 2:00.
现在已经两点了。
Thank you all very much for coming.
谢谢大家到这里来。
And now it's time for lunch.
现在是中午餐的时候了。
And come back here at 3:30.
然后三点半的时候大家重新回来。
4:00. Come back at 4:00.
大家四点的时候再回来。
But if there's kirtan at 3:30, that's nice.
但是如果三点半的话，这里有kirtan，那会非常好。
Or kirtan at 3:00, that's nice too.
然后三点钟有kirtan。
But at least be here by 4:00.
但是呢，我们现在是定的计划是四点钟回来。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.